Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Plain Glass Podcast, where we discuss worship leadership, church music, and a myriad of other stuff. My name is Chris.
And my name's Jay. On this episode of the Plain Glass, we're going to discuss an issue that I think most worship leaders experience in some capacity, and that is, how does a worship leader worship as they lead? So we're going to discuss that in a little more detail, but before we do that, we're going to recap our most recent Sunday. How about this week? Any highlighted thoughts that you have about your Sunday? We don't have to do high-low. We don't have to do what didn't work or whatever. Let's just, is there anything that comes to your mind about how your Sunday went that you feel like you'd like to share with me, your friend?
Yes, Jay. I'm glad you've got thoughts because I think I'm going to be brief today.
Sure.
I am really enjoying leading through Lent. Mm-hmm. Right now, and some years it feels completely different. I can't really describe or explain why, but it really feels like we're building up to something. So each week, liturgically, maybe in ways that I recognize and everybody else is completely oblivious to, but because I'm planning them all, I hope not to, but let's be honest, sometimes
it's the way it happens.
It's the way it is, and it would be okay, but I'm really having this sense of satisfaction in how we're headed to Holy Week. And we discussed a couple episodes ago Holy Week, and we've talked about Easter, but really now that we're kind of in the last movement leading into Holy Week, I've been super encouraged by worship. Mm-hmm. Even to the extent that this past Sunday I thought about some people because it was our spring break for the county schools. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were gone. Mm-hmm. We were gone all week.
Right.
And we even got stuck on the interstate in the middle of the night with a wreck, so we didn't get back into town until very late. Oof. Almost the morning of worship kind of thing.
Yuck.
And you don't want to go into it like that, right?
Right.
But I was refreshed enough and got there, and I remember thinking about all the people that weren't there because they had traveled, and mm-hmm. feeling, man, I really wish that they all could have been here, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. it wasn't like a, because I was so great. Sometimes you have that feeling like, man, I nailed that song. I wish this person that I really want to impress had been there. You know, that's like my worst thought, but that's reality. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. This was more like, I think we're really being built up as a body right now, headed into Easter, and I don't want anybody to miss it.
Or a potty.
As a potty. Oh, that's a throwback to an earlier yeah. episode. Yeah. Neat. So, yeah, that's my kind of the lining of it all.
Cool. Good.
What about you? What do you have for us?
So we also went on vacation, and but we got back on Thursday. So it wasn't like right up to the line of Sunday, but there still was a sense of being gone and this being kind of the first Sunday back after a couple weeks of being out of town or not in the office or whatever. And my sleep has not been going very well recently. And so the night before Sunday, So even though I was on vacation, it wasn't super restful. It was a great time, had a great time with my family, great family time. Not a whole lot of rest, unfortunately, but that's okay.
That's vacation with young children,
though. That is vacation.
To be fair,
we walked.
Not a lot of rest.
I checked my phone. My phone counts my steps, and who knows how actually accurate it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it estimated the week we were gone, we did Disney like multiple days and calculated 45 miles. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
I walked 45 miles.
It's not restful.
On my vacation, and my sleep wasn't great. So I was coming into Sunday a bit tired, and rehearsal didn't go as smoothly as other Sundays go.
Mm-hmm. And this is the day of or the midweek schedule?
Actually both of them.
Okay.
The Thursday night, I almost didn't do Thursday night. I almost canceled it to give myself some more time. And I'm glad I didn't, because that Thursday rehearsal it was a bit rough. It just needed more work. The team, they're wonderful people, wonderful players, but it just took a little bit more work to do the set that we were doing. And so by the end of that Thursday rehearsal, I told them, y'all, I think we're about 80% there. we all need to kind of take our stuff with us over the weekend, look it over, mm-hmm. you know, if you have time, that would be really helpful.
Not a great feeling though.
And then come in on Sunday and we'll finish it off.
Yeah.
So then we came in on Sunday. That rehearsal went kind of similar. We rehearsed up to like past the time that we're supposed to stop. I like to stop at 8:30. We stopped at 8:40, and I stopped us because I saw it was 8:40, and I just said, we've run out of time, y'all. And I'm just really internally just really anxious. I even mm-hmm. at some point slightly snapped at one of my players.
That's how you can tell that you've gotten to that point. Yeah. Where you're short with people.
Yeah. I was a little short with him. And after we finished, I came over to him and just said, hey, I'm so sorry about that. I feel like I snapped a little bit. And he's like, you didn't snap.
Oh,
it's fine.
Okay.
He's like, I've worked with worse worship leaders. you're great, Jay. So I was like, okay, good. Maybe I'm just a little more sensitive about it. But then,
by the way, everybody who's listening is now thinking back. Hopefully you're thinking at this moment, that person you snapped at, and you wonder, do they have the same thought?
Right. So, I actually, when we immediately got done at 8:40, I pulled the band off the stage. I could tell people were just a little nervous about their own personal preparedness.
Well, they feel...
And they can feel my anxiety.
And so they're not feeling settled either, because right. they're going to follow your lead there.
Yeah. So I circled the team up. It's like seven of us. And I just looked at all of them and I said, I know we don't feel as prepared as we usually do on Sundays, and we wish we could have more time. I wish we could have more time to prepare to be ready for this service, but we've run out of time. And it's at this moment right now where we just say, Lord, this is what we can offer you this morning. Please do with it what you will. And we're going to offer that, trusting that you're going to do something great with it, you know, and letting go of, I said this to the team, it's time to let go of all of this, these feelings of anxiety, or I feel underprepared, or whatever. We are where we are, and the Lord's going to use it however he wishes, whether we're feeling 110% prepared or 80% prepared. The Lord's going to use that and do something great with it. Hmm. And I just said, let's pray together to that end, because I know and I told them this. I said, I think some of you feel this way, but I'm saying this because I need to say it to myself. And so let's all pray together that the Lord will do something special with this service, despite how I individually feel about how prepared I am. Yeah. And then we prayed together, and the services went well. No train wrecks,
mm-hmm.
no major issues, you know, had some minor things, but nothing that was distracting or whatever, like the people could worship. The Lord made himself known. Like, it was a wonderful service, even though before in rehearsal, it did not feel like it was going to be something special. The Lord still honored our preparedness, and he honored our offering that we were just in humility offering. This is what we can give you this morning. This is what we can give our church. Please do something with it. You know? So
yeah.
it was really special, despite all the anxiety leading up to it. So I hope that's an encouragement. I share that because I hope that's an encouragement to listeners who do feel that way on Sunday mornings. Maybe you feel that way more often than you wish you did. But I would encourage you to take that to the Lord. When you get to that point where we can't rehearse anymore, just ask the Lord to do something special with it, and then just let it go. Release it to the Lord. Let him use it.
You have put in all the time and work required to plan a service, prepare song sheets and sheet music if necessary. You've prepped vocalists and rehearsed them, rehearsed a band. You've combined all these things together. You've even hopefully done some kind of run-through prior to leading the service, and then the moment comes when the service is to begin. Maybe your role in the church is to actually initiate that with by leading a call to worship, or if there's a pastor doing that, maybe you just know your time is coming where you're going to start to lead. It's that moment where all, sort of all that pressure and all of the build up to that is swirling around, and you have what feels like a million things on your mind. Is it difficult for you to lead in that moment as you enter into worship? Is it difficult for you to lead worship and worship simultaneously? If so, what hinders you?
So to answer your question, I will ask a question. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to ask a question. I will answer your question with a question. To answer your question, yes, it is. It's difficult to lead worship and to worship simultaneously for me.
You think about the complexity of what is resting on your shoulders as a leader. Did somebody cancel the day of?
Right.
Or the night before? That turned everything upside down. I mean, who has that not happened to? You know, hopefully it's infrequent, or maybe a personal issue that's going on. Like anybody else, you have stuff that you carry in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And you can't just, like, if it's stuff at home or at work, but there you are sort of exposed in your workplace and you're dealing with things that are hard. You know, all of that.
Yeah, I find myself thinking about playing and singing, technique. How's the band doing? How are we playing together? Are we rushing? Are we doing, you know, like, is there something I need to communicate to the band non-verbally right now? Is the church engaged?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something I need to do to, like, help encourage the church to sing more, or, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Those are things that usually go on in my mind in the middle of a song. And then there's like, oh yeah, I should be worshiping along with the church right now. And that's what hinders me, is I find myself thinking about all these issues. Like, of course, you do need to be aware of what the band's doing musically and hold it together, you know, like,
yeah,
but you also need to trust that this is going to be fine. You don't have to be hyper aware, so much so that you're like taking the majority of your brain and, you know, your mind and your focus on this thing when you don't need to really focus so much on this thing. Hmm. or your, what you're playing or your intonation or whatever it is, like, those things are all good and you want to make sure you do a good job. I'm not saying you shouldn't care about that, but perhaps I need to let go of some of those things enough to allow for more room just to focus on singing with the church and enjoying what we're doing together as we're singing to the Lord. So that's I think what hinders me, is this oversensitivity to these things that might be a little more tertiary to what's happening right now.
Relationship. Thinking about relationships. And so it could be like one, maybe somebody on your team, like you mentioned before, I snapped at that person.
Right.
If I didn't have time to work that out ahead of time before things started, maybe I'm thinking about that as there's a conflict that's unresolved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you've had an experience of there's somebody in your congregation you're at odds with and they're there.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that you're supposed to lead them, but you also know things aren't quite right.
Sure.
That can be a hindrance, a huge hindrance, if there's conflict that's unresolved or that's in process. That can be a huge hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there are some traditions that do passing of the peace.
Yes.
You familiar with that?
Yes.
And the notion there is actually that, like, you should be able to extend a hand of fellowship to your, basically to your enemy, if they are a brother or sister in Christ, because you have this common bond that supersedes everything else. And we shouldn't allow that ultimately to hinder our expressions of worship.
Right.
Like I should be able to be side by side with somebody that I'm in a pretty significant disagreement with because we agree on the gospel. We yeah. agree on these higher things, mm-hmm. right? But in practice, I mean, it's really hard to get there. So I find that to be relationally, and part of it's because that's some of what's most important to me mm-hmm. are the relationships within my team or within our church. I'm thinking a lot about people. So I definitely feel those things too, though, the technicalities
yeah.
will get in the way as well, but
it's not every week that I think about those things, and it's not the majority of what I think about, but those are things that come to mind that I do think about. And when I think about young worship leaders, I feel like those are the things that probably are going on in their minds mm-hmm. that they're probably going to be thinking about as they're leading worship.
Do you think it's gotten harder or easier for you to worship and lead simultaneously as you've gotten older?
It's hard to answer. It's hard for me to answer that.
I'm trying to answer it myself. And
yeah, I mean,
it is difficult.
In some respects, I can say, yeah, I don't think about these things as much, these certain things as much, but I now think about these other things. And then there was a time like when you're younger that you're just, you feel like this kind of freedom and this raw kind yeah. of, this openness just to sing and play and whatever. I think there are things that when I was younger, I probably thought more about that I don't think about now that cause hindrances. And I think that there are things that I didn't think about as a younger worship leader that I think about now that cause
yeah.
hindrance, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm trying to stay in this point of tension.
Which is?
This place of tension that the worship leader is every time they step into the role of the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason why we want to discuss this is because it's not unique to Jay and Chris.
Right.
You know, everybody that I have known who's led worship, every intern that I've had come through has wrestled with this, asked about this,
mm-hmm.
tried to understand, practically tried to learn. And so I've had some conversations with people enough to know it's not just me.
Right.
That it is kind of it's a struggle. You know, I sometimes wonder how unique it is to worship leaders, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you want to put yourself in the shoes of the person coming to worship, that's actually, this is kind of jumping the gun, but one of the ways for me, that kind of a remedy for this, is to put myself in the place of the worshiper.
Right.
Enough.
Yes.
To remember what it is like for them. And there's actually, they're not thinking about all those things necessarily, but they are bringing in all their own stuff. They have that relationship that's strained. They have that difficult thing that happened at home.
Yeah.
They have the looming assignment or exam tomorrow they know they're not prepared for. Like, there are always hindrances and things that it's not like my ability as a worship leader to remove those things from people. They're going to bring that in and it's still there. I think I'm about to lose my job.
Right.
Or I'm going to lose my kids.
Yeah.
Or someone I really love is losing a battle to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Or knocking at death's door. Like, that's reality. That's human reality.
So it's when you think about that and you're like, why am I so focused on my vocals?
Yeah.
When this person out here is probably thinking about these things.
For sure.
Like, their hindrances are a bit more valid than mine.
Right.
Like, I need to let go of things. You
know? Yeah, the ones that are common to man, like a human encumbrance versus the logistics.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that I just want us to think through. So it is kind of sitting in the problem for a minute. You know, when you're trying to solve a problem, first of all, I don't know that there's like a solution to this necessarily.
Right.
But if so, we'll write a book next. You know, if we discover it today, we'll write the book. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm.
Sometimes it's sitting in the problem to really understand.
Yeah, I think there is a part of our job and a part of anybody who serves on a worship team's job that is, it's an act of sacrifice. And you are giving up some of what you could be doing by being in a different part of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're making that conscious decision. Doesn't mean that you're not gonna, like, I'm not saying that worship team members and worship leaders won't be worshiping. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But to the fullness that you can really focus on it, you're having to sacrifice some of that as being the leader and as being a worship team member, so that other people don't have to think about those things. Hmm. I think that's something that you have to reconcile with as a worship leader, that you're not going to have the same experience as somebody who's sitting in the chairs. And
you've made that conscious choice, and there are people that are going to be called to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's a really thought-provoking notion.
One of the things that helps me, what I think is important for all worship leaders, is to find time to not be always facilitating.
Yeah.
You can have times where you are receiving.
Definitely.
And more than just once a year when you go on vacation, or a handful of days out of the year when you go to that conference or whatever. Like, those are really important and good, but there still should be like normal Sundays.
Yeah, they shouldn't always be getaways.
The only times you worship can't be when you're off stage. We need to think through how can we cope with hindrances from the stage and still be able to, with our mind and heart, engage in the words and liturgy and in worship along with our church, despite the fact that we're having to facilitate. And, granted, it's not at the same level as somebody who's sitting and receiving, but there still should be a sense where we are worshiping along with the church. We're not completely cut off from that. There's no picture of that in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where one group is excluded.
Right.
The leaders don't get to feel so that the populace can.
Right.
That's ridiculous. That equilibrium notion is not biblical.
Exactly.
We are every bit as human and present as congregation.
And what comes to mind is Psalm 42, which is written by a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the valley, and there's a lot going on in that. But one of the things he talks about is remembering when he would enter into worship and the joy that came with that. And he's asking, like, I want to experience that again.
Let's read that.
These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. And then he says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So there's this example of a worship leader who is joining in with the people in praising, giving shouts of, glad shouts and songs of praise. There's no idea of these hindrances, or like that he's not part of what's happening or separate from what's happening. He's definitely part of what's happening. He actually wants to experience that again in this context. But this passage gives us a picture of, hey, the worship leader is part of what's going on. So we can't hide behind our hindrances and say, you know what, I'm completely sacrificing any worshiping that I'm going to do for the good of the church. That's not a good argument, because we don't see that in the scriptures.
No.
So.
And one of the pitfalls of leading worship is, how do I say this? In a nice way. We've mentioned this at other times, but acting like I'm Jesus.
Right.
I mean, not that dramatic, but we can sort of make believe like we're the ones making it happen. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would hope that by my work, that I could really usher people into this place where they can experience God's presence and power.
Yeah.
I would love to have that kind of authority.
Of course.
I don't have that kind of authority.
Definitely not.
I don't. There is one who has it. His name is Jesus. I can't do that, but I sometimes pretend like I am, and then I work myself up like that's what I'm doing. So the focus is on me at that point.
Right.
And that alone can be enough to completely sideline my encounter with God. Come into it thinking that it's your responsibility to bring people to the throne of God.
You're going to be thinking about all of this stuff.
And it will sink you.
Yeah.
I mean, it can just absolutely wreck you. And heaven forbid it's a bad week where the sound system fails or something. I mean, you'll just be done for. Yeah. So you cannot have that. You and I both have recent experiences with that. That's really frustrating.
Yeah.
If I'm completely dependent upon all these things working together right in order to have my own sense of satisfaction and purpose and fulfillment in the moments where I'm worshiping, I mean, that's crazy. Right. No one else has that experience.
Nope.
So we have no business elevating ourselves to that place.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's so easy for it to happen without even realizing that that's what's going on.
Right.
So I think to your point of that we have to have these, we have to take measures to protect against some of those pitfalls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there has to be a way to enter into worship as the leader that enables personal worship.
Yes.
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are, you know, you've been doing this for a little while, so what are some of the things that we've learned that have helped with this?
Yeah, so I think it's a conscientious, for me, it's a conscientious releasing. Like I talked about in the recap, taking my worship team through that kind of prayer in that moment of, hey, we've run out of time. We're just going to give what we have to the Lord and trust that he's going to do something beautiful with it. And actually letting go, in the service. So before the service, praying to the Lord and asking for that, you know, I don't want my mind to be clouded with all of these things. I don't want my heart to be prevented from entering into this service and fully. And part of that is releasing this service to you, that I'm not Jesus. I've done what I can to prepare for it and to lead your people well. Mm-hmm. You're taking it from here, and I'm just going to join in. I think doing that's really helpful for me. That's something that's really been beneficial.
That's definitely a practice what you preach,
yeah,
kind of thing. You know, it'd be easy for me to say to someone, like if somebody came to me and said, I don't know what to do about my job. I'm all worked up about, I feel like there's so much pressure on me. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I have all this anxiety and I feel like I can't even enjoy what I'm doing because I'm so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I might suggest, well, take that to God. Be anxious about nothing.
Right.
But in everything, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. And the result is the peace of God, which surpasses knowledge, yeah. Right? So we know the book. Well, although I admitted that I don't know it as well as I should, but we know the book. We know the answers.
Right.
But actually assimilating that and having that be something that presses into who I am and how I behave and how I feel is the challenge of our walk is just as people, as Christians.
Yeah.
So to me, that's really a leveling of you're asking God, lay me flat on the floor alongside my brothers and sisters, the ones that are not bogged down in this mess of, I feel 50% ready for right. this service. Mm-hmm. When we get there, can we all just sit at your feet together and glean, you know, and receive from you?
Yeah.
And I think that moment, whatever that moment is, it could be that it's in your quiet time.
Right.
You know, it could be that it's the day before or the night before. Sometimes it's in the moment, like what you are describing that scene. I can relate to that exactly of I know I've got to do damage control with this group of people because none of them feel right about this.
Right.
Literally on stage right before the beginning, just this will be enough. If the gospel is true, this will be enough to do what God has already ordained for this morning. you know, so it can come in different places.
Yeah.
So that's a great, example of just that surrendering that we would all say we're surrendering, we're yielding in all sorts of ways to say, God, I'm not God, you are. And I want to enter in and receive fully.
Yeah.
Actually, one of your call to worships that you showed me, you mentioned just by walking into this room, not only am I saying to myself, but to the world around me, like I don't have everything, that there's something outside of me that I need to submit myself to. And those weren't the exact words you used. Actually, you said it really well. That notion of that, like, we're all walking into this place on Sunday morning, which is kind of ridiculous in itself. It makes no sense we would be doing this.
Yeah.
That itself is an acknowledgement. I don't have it all put together.
Yeah.
And as a worship team, we should be leading the way.
Right.
In acknowledging that.
That's good.
So the leveling and trying to center myself around the gospel, you mentioned this earlier, spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
Spiritual discipline. So can we think some, and that might be like foreign language to some people. What's a spiritual discipline? What are spiritual disciplines that equip and enable you to enter in on a Sunday morning or wherever you're leading and actually worship at the same time? For me, the main one,
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's prayer.
I was going to say prayer.
Prayer is,
the mindfulness, the taking it to the Lord, that's part of that.
Yeah. You see it enacted there, but
yeah, but it's more than just that moment.
Yes. It's like an ongoing conversation. I mean, this is what prayer is, right?
Yeah.
But it's not just the before the meal, we thank God for providing. That's an important prayer,
right?
I think, to make. Maybe not all the time, but whatever. But there's a relating with God on a real personal level that I think is essential to being able to walk into something where the stakes are that high and be able to encounter him alongside the people that you're leading. That can't be the first time you're talking to him.
Yeah.
When you're praying that prayer of invocation, where you're saying, Holy Spirit, come and do this thing that we are powerless to do without you. If that's the first time I've talked to God that day, that week, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you're anemic.
And no wonder you have hindrances.
Right.
Like,
yeah, you're not that peace of God that surpasses knowledge. It's not yours because you don't ask. You have not because you don't ask. I mean, that we see that play out in our lives in all different ways, right? But so that's the big one for me, is a prayer life. And it doesn't mean that I'm like this prayer warrior that's on my knees all the time, but I am trying to relate to God in a way that's a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if it's easier to recognize someone's voice that you spend time talking to and have spent time recently talking to, you know, rather than somebody you don't talk to at all. Or maybe you haven't talked to in a really long time. You're like, it's hard to hear you. I think personal worship and family worship, corporate worship shouldn't be the only time that worship happens in your life as a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with the Lord personally in his word. And I admit that I kind of stink at that. You know, like, that's something that I've always struggled with, is having a consistent, like, even daily, you know, time. And part of it is life stage. Like, it's just having young children, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, there are lots of things that should be happening consistently and aren't.
Right.
Right. Yeah. In life in general.
So. And I could put excuses in front of it, but the fact of the matter is it's a struggle. But when you spend time with the Lord consistently, in his word consistently, did I say consistently?
I thought you said the actual word.
Okay, for a second, I questioned if I said it weird.
That's fine. If so, I missed it. But we'll catch
it. We'll be able to hear it, yeah, sure. Prayer, reading your Bible, meditating on God's word,
And that goes hand in hand. Prayer.
Scripture meditation.
Yeah, the idea that you could have a prayer life without any kind of interaction with the word. I mean, that's just, I'm just going to sort of be feeding myself with my own whim and fancy, right? Yeah. Like God's spoken through his word. So if I want to have a conversation with him.
It's right there.
Right. And I need to start there. And you can even, I notice there are times when I feel self-conscious about my prayers, or I falter in some of my public prayers.
Mm.
And that can be a time when I'm really encumbered. And a lot of times those are the moments where I haven't really been in his word a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's where we get the language.
So I was about to say the same thing.
Right, of how to speak to God.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you're never there,
it's not going to come to you quickly or easily or at all sometimes.
Right. Again, he's faithful in all of our weaknesses and shortcomings. Sure. And it blows my mind, actually, the things that he
accomplishes despite...
Yeah, and how much of my nonsense he has endured over the years. Like, he's so good.
Yeah.
He's so, so good. Think about story. So we have all these stories in the Bible, right? And you mm-hmm. think, like, Joshua, the Battle of Jericho, like, all these things that they have a purpose. We learn them as kids, and maybe we hold on to these details about some of the stories of the Old Testament, but, like, the narrative of what the Bible is teaching is this story of sort of dramatic rescue.
Yeah.
And God gathering in. And anytime the people of God are gathered, it's this moment where we commemorate that story.
Yep.
And it's timeless because it's historically, it's everywhere. So we join the saints who've gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
We're here with all these people of every age, right? And we're all bearing witness to the same truth. So it's like there's a grandeur to that.
Yeah.
That I think, like, that perspective going into it, to remind myself that that's the perspective.
Yeah.
It's not really dependent upon how this day goes.
Right.
Or how the service feels to people, or what my performance was like. That matters, and it matters to God because I matter to God. But that there's a vision of what's happening. It's in line with what's happening in heaven all the time. It's a foreshadowing of these things to come, where this epic restoration occurs.
Yeah.
That's already been inaugurated, and it's happening now. So for me, there's a rhythm of submitting to that.
Yep.
And entering into the story and putting myself there. So I can bring even kind of a muddled, broken mess to that table. And I have a place there because it's a table for sinners, not for people who have it all put together. So that perspective is really important for me. And right. It's not like I arrive every week with that. Like I'm not that deep. Some weeks, like, I snap at my worship team and I sweat because I'm stressed out or whatever, you know.
Wait, you sweat?
What? I perspire. I'm a human. Or whatever.
You would die if you didn't.
True story. But I think the days that have been most powerful for me actually in my weakness have been those times where I've been given that perspective. A lot of times it comes from somebody outside of me.
Yeah. Like,
hey, that thing that you said really encouraged me. I know that at that moment when I said whatever that thing was, I was so distracted. Knowing that that can serve someone. I have those stories over the years as a leader. I realize in my moments of greatest weakness, his strength really is being perfected.
Yeah.
So there's, like, I want to have this broadening view of the nature of what God is doing in the world, where I take myself way less seriously, but I also can continually raise the bar of what I think we should be offering and bringing to the table.
Yeah.
So we don't just say, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do my best or whatever. Mm. It's actually the opposite. You know what I mean?
Right.
But so that's kind of the water I'm swimming in. I want it to be that kind of water.
Here, I'll end it with this. Unless you have anything else to share. I feel like we've talked about this in such a way that it might seem like we have all the answers.
I hope not.
Well, we just like, I just like this discussion. Part of this discussion has us, it's just us working it out.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, I'm just thinking about this as a listener. I just want the listeners to know, like, this is what's happening right now is you and I, we're just working this problem out because it's a constant problem that we both face. And we think other people face it. And we thought it would be good to talk through it and figure out how can we fight against it and join the people in worshiping the Lord together, because it's a pervasive problem as a worship leader to be able to actually enter into worship while also leading worship.
This would be a great topic to have some further discussion about and some interaction.
Yeah.
So I would personally be really encouraged to hear, oh, that's me. I really struggle with that. And I kind of wonder where to begin. Or, yeah, I really used to struggle with that, but I think I've struck a balance.
Mm.
Maybe could you think about that on either side? Think about that and share some of that with us. You know, I would love to know that we're not the only ones.
Well, for this week's episode, we are going to look at the song, Who You Say I Am, by Hillsong Worship, written by Reuben Morgan and Ben Fielding. It was released about midway through just last year in 2018. Chris, why don't you open up this discussion and let's take a look at this song. What you got for us?
This song really is about identity.
Mm.
One of the reasons why I'm drawn to this one personally, I'll say this as somebody who's, I've not led it in our church, but I've, every time that I've listened to this song, I'm interested in it because it's very, very relevant to, I think, a lot of what our culture is wrestling with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Identity. Who are we? Who are we not? You know, these sort of these huge questions, and there's maybe a modern notion of self-determination that I am whoever I determine myself to be, right? And so I can choose, it's my own destiny. Like I control it. And this song digs into some of that truth that comes from the Word of God. And so the references are John 8, Romans 8, Romans 3, John 1. This is actually, this information is provided to us by worshiptogether.com. It's a great resource that provides lyrics and chords, but also some of the background of of how these songs are written.
Mm-hmm.
So this song, the chorus sort of wraps this up. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. It's a very, very simple. Personally, I think that's probably the least interesting musically.
Mm-hmm.
It has this feel of like, yes, I am. And then it kind of sits flat for a second. The guitar does kind of a little riff I've heard 1,000 times. Like, I don't know if they just got tired and were like, we're not going to try to do more with this.
Mm.
The verses are so good that it gets, every time it goes back to a verse, I'm back. And the bridge is the same way. So this is one of those where a lot of times the hook is in the chorus and that's what grabs you. A lot of kind of modern, you're like, okay, it's great, great chorus, has a couple hooks. Then the verses, it's like they just threw something together. This song actually has kind of the opposite to me.
It feels like they phoned in the chorus.
A little bit. And I wouldn't even accuse them of that. But to me, the verses and the bridge really shine. And that's somewhat unusual, I think, in modern worship music. Not
usually
necessarily.
There
are songs that are really well written, some things that we've thought through in the past. And there's a lot more that we could talk about. This is so mainstream. It's Hillsong. So many people. You know, you mentioned earlier how it could rise so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hillsong drops something of value. It just immediately.
Yeah, it's not even a year old and it's already at the top 100.
And that's just their reach. I mean, the scope of what they're doing worldwide is staggering.
Yep.
But this, who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me.
Yeah.
It's so simple and really, I think it's really touching and beautiful.
looking at these words, I'll share my brief thoughts on it because I've not done it in our church and I've only heard it a handful of times. And I've never looked at the words closely before doing this segment. I personally, and we've talked about this, am my own worst enemy. Hmm. And I'm constantly either self-deprecating, or not giving myself enough credit, or I'm overcritical of myself, or...
Yeah.
So I can often mess up and say, how can God approve of me when I stink so bad at, for instance, talking about these spiritual disciplines and the inconsistency and all these things. Like I find myself condemning myself about that, right?
Yeah.
It's songs like these that I need to sing because I need to remember who I am, and I'm who God says I am, not who I say I am.
Yeah.
And so you talked about it from this cultural aspect of self-determination, but there's another element of self-determination that's condemning yourself. Like you're not good enough. And, and I don't mean to say like this is, prosperity type stuff or, you know, just like sin doesn't matter or, you know, anything like that. But your union with Christ, when you are united with Christ, God no longer looks at you, but looks at Christ in you, and you are fully approved.
Yeah.
And you're fully accepted because of Christ's righteousness, not your own. And so it's a song like this that reminds me of that, that when I screw up, repent. Yes. Confess and repent.
Yeah.
But you're fully accepted because of the Son, you know, of Christ, because of Christ. So I really like this song. It's a needed song because I don't think I'm the only person who feels that way about myself. Well, I mean, I hope, no, it sounds weird. Like everybody thinks that way about me. I mean, maybe they do. Oh no. I don't think I'm the only person who is self-deprecating or self-condemning.
Oh,
you know, I think
it's
an issue everybody deals with.
Yeah. And in terms of value, like what am I worth?
Right.
And a lot of that is, think about the people you're leading. People come in with all these experiences that suppress their notion of what they're worth, you know? Yeah. Maybe it's you were told all your life that you never amount to anything, right? Or you spent your whole week at work being yelled at by your boss and you have low self-esteem because you haven't amounted to what you thought you would. You know, like these human experiences. Mm-hmm. And people bring deep wounds into church.
Yeah.
And you're very vulnerable at church. I love this bridge. I'm chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. So it's just these simple truths recounted. Mm-hmm. We just speak them. This is my identity. These things are true. This is my identity.
Well, that's this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We would love to connect with you. Look down into the show notes and you'll see all the ways that you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, email. Have a good week, y'all.